Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Time to take a look at the next opponent. That would be your Oakland Raiders. The first time the Steelers will see them when they are not being run by Al Davis. Reggie McKenzie now in charge of the Oakland Raiders, and just a few items of personnel news regarding the Raiders. You know, their situation at cornerback, I'll just document it here for you again quickly. One starter, Ron Bartell, was lost in the opener to an injury. Shante Spencer has a foot injury. He will not play as well. So on Tuesday, the Raiders worked out four different corners: Darius Butler, Cletus Gordon, Antoine Molden, and Kevin Thomas. They ultimately decided to sign Brandian Ross off the Green Bay Packers practice squad. Reggie McKenzie, currently the president of the Oakland Raiders.
General manager.
General manager.
That's significant because he's the Raiders' first general manager since 1963, other than Oakland Al.
Well, yeah. Okay, it is significant then. But he used to be in Green Bay. When he was in Green Bay, Ross was in Green Bay. He convinced Ross to stay with the Packers when someone wanted to sign him last year. But now with McKenzie in Oakland, he plucked Ross off the Packers practice squad. Figure he starts on Sunday?
Latest speculation I saw out of Oakland, this was from the Oakland Tribune, I believe, was that, Patrick Lee and Hanson are going to be the two starters. Those guys were splitting the cornerback position opposite Shante Spencer in Miami. They started with Lee, and he got picked on a little bit by Ryan Tannehill and Brian Hartline, so they went to Hanson, and Hanson had his struggles as well. Labs, that passing combination of Tannehill to Hartline, 9 catches, 111 yards. We're not talking Montana to Young or Rice or Bradshaw to Swan or Stallworth. It was Hartline on the receiving end from Tannehill.
Right.
And they were unstoppable. They were like that train in the Western Pennsylvania movie that Denzel Washington was driving. Couldn't stop it.
Other problems for the Raiders defense.
Those are the right guys, by the way. Lee and Hanson, you have the depth chart there.
Yeah, there is a Hanson.
26 and 23.
Yes, Lee and Hanson. Very, very nicely done. Another problem.
Not exactly Barney and LeBeau, but, you know, that's what they
or
got.
Or Night Train Lane and LeBeau. Or even Harvey Clayton and
Sam Washington.
Sam Washington. Another problem for the Raiders defense, Rolando McClain, their starting middle linebacker, revealed that he played in Miami with a concussion. I would imagine that the protocol is going to kick into effect, and I would be stunned if this guy is on the field on Sunday against the Steelers. So, you know, that's another problem that the Raiders have there. On offense, Khalif Barnes, their starting right tackle, who to call him a journeyman, I think is kind. Former number one pick, I believe, of your Flabama Jaguars. He is the starting right tackle. He will not play Sunday against the Steelers. Willie Smith is listed as the primary backup at both tackle positions for the Raiders.
So, he's got a long history with the Raiders that dates back to September the 1st.
2012. The Raiders are in transition, I think, certainly from the top, with Al Davis being dead, Reggie McKenzie taking over. And I just think that, you know, whatever it was, 50-some years of Al Davis is not something that you presto change-o in, you know, 1 year. I think that the Raiders are, you know, as I said, they're a team in transition. They still have some talent. The Steelers need to take care of business. But this is not – this trip to the black hole is – I don't even know if the Raiders are as good a team as the 2006 version – that the Steelers encountered. That Raiders team had one win in October, late October, or whatever it was. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger threw four picks, two returned for touchdowns, and the Steelers comeback losers. Certainly, that can happen again, but certainly it would be the same kind of degree of unmitigated disaster this year as it was then.
Yeah, you mentioned still have some talent, and there is still some talent there, but the transition point is very well taken. 24 guys on the current 53 roster weren't there last year. And they're shifting philosophies. The new thing with the offensive line is zone blocking. And I'm not sure that McFadden is a zone blocking back. He's more of a, you know, one cut, stick it up in there, tell me where I'm supposed to go and let me get there kind of running back instead of one of these, you know, dance behind the line and wait for it and find the floating hole type of thing that your zone blocking creates. He's only averaging 2 yards a carry. They're having a hard time getting the ball to their receivers for whatever reason. One of the reasons might be the receivers aren't all that. Carson Palmer is throwing it a ton. He's put up career highs in passing numbers the last 2 weeks, and it hasn't helped the Raiders win games.
Well, you know, and the pass offense has changed. I mean, from one extreme to the other, Al was down the field, down the field, down the field. Greg Knapp is West Coast. 1, 2, 3, you know, throw it sideways. Al has got to be just spinning in the old grave watching his team throw the football like that. So I don't even know if any of these receivers, Darius Heyward-Bey does not strike me as a guy who is a West Coast offense receiver. I mean, these guys who have been drafted, they're bigger people, fast. The Raiders are trying to get by, I think, and adjust on the fly, but the changes that they're trying to implement are drastic and very significant. And I don't know, like I said, there's still so much in transition at this point that, you know, I think the Steelers should be able to go out there, you know, not beat yourself, and I don't know that they can beat you.
Yeah, it's normally the trick. From what I saw in the Miami game, Labs, Carson Palmer still wants to go down the field on occasion. McFadden is the most targeted guy by a wide margin in the passing game, and that's all dump-off stuff. He got dinged up a little bit against Miami, and his backup ended up taking a little swing pass, 65 yards
Goodson,
or so.
Mike Goodson.
For a touchdown. Their tight ends can get down the seam. They have some nice tight ends, and they have a nice defensive line. Particularly this kid Shaughnessy, number 77. He's probably not a kid, but they seem to line him up on both sides of the line, and he looks like one of these guys that can beat you either with speed, you know, the dip and duck, quick move, or just push you back into the pocket. Richard Seymour needs no introduction to anybody from Pittsburgh, particularly Ben Roethlisberger.
Or Ben's jaw.
Yeah, they like to get after it up front. They're physical, but there's some holes there. And corner would seemingly be one of them. You imagine that the Steelers are going to exploit that, would you not?
Yeah, I would. And, you know, again, the last time the Steelers went there, Ben Roethlisberger coming off what was reported as a concussion the previous week against the Atlanta Falcons, again, based on the current protocol and rules for those kind of things, Ben probably would not have played in Oakland. Looking back on it, you know, that might have been the best path as well to take. But, you know, again, at the time, you know, the Steelers certainly were not putting Ben out there trying to risk him. They were just following the rules kind of as they knew them at that time. So, but anyway, don't turn the ball over. And I think that the Raiders may hang around for a while. This is their home opener, is it not?
I think the San Diego game
is okay. You know, we have seen what home field can do for the Steelers, and I certainly think it will help the Raiders as well. And so, again, Pittsburgh needs to go there, you know, take care of its business. And I think you go into the bye week 2-1, and, you know, all things considered, you kind of, I won't even say you really reevaluate yourself because it's too early. But you take the week off and enjoy it, because week offs in the NFL are fun no matter when you get them. And then you prepare yourself for the rest of the season. But
yeah, you know, the competitors want to win every game. But I think if you really evaluated it realistically going into these first three games. At Denver loomed as a very difficult task. At Oakland's not a layup, but it's not like going into New England in January, but it is a road game.
And if you don't want to go to New England in January, you better take care of Oakland in September.
And the Jets here, a formidable team, but a home game. You figure if you're going to be the kind of team you think you're going to be, you're going to win your home game. So I guess what I'm getting to, I think people would have taken 2-1 had it been offered in September at the outset of the month. I certainly would have. Go into the bye at 2-1, and now you have positioned yourself to be in position to make the second half of the season matter. And I think the Steelers can be viewed and should be viewed as a team that is, what did Mike Tomlin say, they're going to have to be on the rise.
Yes.
Certainly you would hope they're going to get healthier, and as they get healthier, they're going to get better in the second half. And as they become more comfortable with the offense and it becomes more second nature and roles become perhaps a little bit more defined, that should improve as well. So while all that's going on, I think 2-1, not bad. Stick that in your pocket, take a weekend off, and then come back ready to work.
You know, you mentioned health. And I don't know if, you know, I know that this would be Mike Tomlin's preference or his purpose, the way he views injuries. You know, it's almost of a, he calls them part of the game, and it's almost like something that you don't even discuss. And to me, I'm just wondering if the players are, especially in the case of James Harrison, just kind of getting used to life without him. And you know, you would hope that would happen, because in the meantime, you know, you want him back, and when he comes back, you hope he's, you know, can give you what he used to. But up until then, I think the whole idea is to kind of not miss him. Now,
I guess that's the theory. I think that can be achieved in a lot of instances. Guy like that, well, that's a different breed of cat, isn't it?
I would, you know,
I'd miss him.
I think that in terms of the actual performance on the field, they do. But I'm talking more about the psyche of the players going into the game, because to me that's a big part of it, especially against Oakland in September. You know, you're going to need a healthy James Harrison and a healthy Troy Polamalu for, you know, a lot of the games that you were talking about, getting into position to make the second half meaningful. But this is the kind of a game where you hope that your approach to the injuries can fool your team to the degree that they can go to Oakland and figure
we can. In other words, we're giving these guys a little extra time, but we don't want you student-athletes to know that. So the stated plan of attack is going to be get them healthy as quickly as possible, but it's very much anticipated that won't be for a while yet.
Well, I think that is the reality.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not saving.
No, it makes a lot of sense. Both ways. I wouldn't tell the players that by any stretch, but I would try to get by this game without those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that, you know, that's what the goal is. I'm saying that I don't believe these guys are going to be ready for a while in real life. I don't think that it's not that I'm saying we're going to save them and then you play Philadelphia on October 7th and you trot them out there and, hey, they're 100%. I don't know if that's going to be the case that quickly. I think that these things are certainly Harrison's. I don't know how you could think that it's going to be well soon. I mean, based on what? It hasn't been well for months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the stated intention was after the scope. What are those usually, 3 or 4 weeks?
I mean, that was at camp. We were still in Latrobe.
Well, it's almost October, too. I mean, if the scope did its thing, he should be ready soon, relatively speaking.
Yeah, but what we saw from Max and what we're seeing from Mendenhall is a progression to, you know, the time when they get on the field. Harrison is not able to practice.
Yeah, he's able to work out
for
what that's worth. Troy, on the other hand, played the game in Denver, and he said after the Jets game that he wasn't sure he wasn't going to play until he showed up Sunday for the game, and his pads were packed away and his uniform wasn't hanging in his locker. Then he knew he was out, but he said he thought he could have played. Would it have been a smart thing to do? Maybe not. But I bet if that had been a playoff game, he'd have played.
I'll bet if it had been a playoff game, he would have gotten himself on the practice field at least once, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think he's a guy that needs that?
I think you it's not so much need practice as it is I think you know, your body needs some sort of activity up until you're asking it to go 100 miles an hour. I mean, I don't know that, you know, if it's a race car, to use that analogy, because, you know, I hate the baseball ones, but to use it as a race car, I mean, I think you kind of want to run it around the track once before you're going 210 miles an hour. Necessarily, you punch that engine, you know. So that's the thing to me. I really think if these guys were on some sort of steady progression to getting back on the field, we would see them on the practice field. We haven't yet, and so that's what makes me think that.
But we don't usually see that with Troy other than one day a week when he's healthy.
Right, he'll practice a little bit Friday. Yeah. Well, but see, he didn't practice Friday. That's the thing.
I can't see that makes that much of a difference. I don't know. Could be wrong, but what they do on Fridays is not necessarily strenuous.
Exactly, and that's another reason why if you can't even do that, then I don't think it's smart to put your stuff on to play on Sunday. Again, if it was a Super Bowl, that's a whole other story. Conference championship game, you know, that kind of stuff. But certainly September, you know. But again, I think if he was ready to play, they would play him, not save him till after the bye.
Well, there you go. We finally got that
okay
wrapped up.
So we also,
but it would be nice to get by this game without those guys.
Yes.
Whether you're saving them or whether they just can't go. Well, if they get that additional time, that would seemingly help.
And you would like to think that the players you have in place of them can help you beat the kind of team you're playing this Sunday.
Yes.
Yes.
Interesting the way they basically split Chris Carter and Jason Worlds almost down the middle against the Jets. The Jets had 10 possessions, and each guy started 5 of them with the first-team defense. Each guy was on the field for one opponent scoring drive, and then the rest of the time the defense was effective with each guy. So it's two heads are better than one there filling in for Harrison.
And Mundy does the job for
Mundy
Troy.
Mundy gets it done in Troy's spot. And Ryan Clark, your Steelers Digest Player of the Week.
Right.
Came deserve back that. And was noticeable.
Yes.
He announced his presence with authority. So that helps too.
And that's what they need from him and the other guys on that defense who are Pro Bowl players when you don't have your two former Defensive Players of the Year. Okay, go to Oakland. Let's get this business taken care of. I think we're in agreement there. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Monday when we get back from Oakland.